From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Kelly Walker from WXXI's broadcast partner, Finger Lakes Public Radio in Geneva, filling in for Evan Dawson this hour. Our connection this hour comes from the heart of the Finger Lakes. Geneva's reputation as a tourist destination is well known and I think well deserved. A lot of attention's been paid to the renaissance in dining and nightlife in the community, especially on Linden Street. I'm a transplant to Geneva. I arrived in 2013, and one thing that I have learned living in Geneva is that the community is culturally diverse and engaged. That cultural scene includes the community's children, because just a few blocks away from downtown tourism, St. Peter's Community Arts Academy has offered instruction in dance and music since 2005. As St. Peter's enters a new decade, it does so with new leadership. The Reverend James Adams and his wife Sue recently entered a well-deserved retirement. We've invited members of the new leadership team to tell us more about the past, present, and future of St. Peter's Community Arts Academy. I'd like to welcome my guests, Kirsten Burrell, the St. Peter's Community Arts Academy Managing Director.
Yes.
Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And Chris Fanning, no stranger to the WXXI airwaves. You are also a member of St. Peter's Community Arts Academy's Executive Support Board.
Thrilled to be here. Thanks for having us, Kelly.
It's great to have you here. Now, I should mention that while St. Peter's Episcopal Church sponsors and supports the Community Arts Academy, the school itself is not religiously affiliated. And so when we refer to St. Peter's this hour, we are generally referring to the Community Arts Academy. So, welcome. I think one of the first things I really would like to get to, Kirsten and Chris, how did your own association with St. Peter's begin?
Do you want to go first?
No, you have a longer history with it, I think, since your childhood or infancy or something.
Yeah, I went to a small Catholic school in Geneva. Had always been involved in the arts and the theater scene growing up, you know, Geneva's Youth Theater and Geneva Theater Guild. And when I was in eighth grade, a friend of mine was involved in the St. Peter's Community Choir, and she had just come back from a European tour. They had gone to the UK with the choir, and I was so shocked that someone in my age group had traveled abroad and done it while singing. And so my parents looked into it and enrolled me in the community choir in 1999. And I was in the choir for 5 years until I graduated and went to college.
Well, my history is I'm also an import into Geneva. I married into an old Geneva family, and we raised our family in Geneva, and we found St. Peter's Community Arts Academy because Jim and Sue Adams are just those type of people. They were incredible ambassadors for not only obviously St. Peter's Episcopal Church, but for their true vision of the Arts Academy and what it could become. So constantly reaching out, drawing people in, and we were immediately drawn to the Arts Academy, having four children and all wanting to try something. So my history with the Arts Academy actually started from a parent perspective and a community member perspective, and I realized its potential and what it could give to my family, and actually what it was giving to Geneva community in general. So about 20 years is my history now. Of course, my children did go through programs, many of the programs at the Arts Academy. I have a teaching background myself in the arts. And so when I was ready to leave that career, the opportunity opened for me to now be a leader for an institution that I feel genuinely passionate about and just love. So
You know, Chris, you mentioned the choir, and both of you have a history with St. Peter's that really stretches back to the beginning of the organization. And in fact, even in your case, Chris, a little before the organization came into being. Tell me a little bit about the choir in those early days.
Correct, yeah. So there's several levels to choir. There's St. Nicholas, which is for our smallest singers, the junior choir, the senior choir, and then mixed choir. And, you know, it was every Wednesday at 4:30 or so getting dropped off. I mean, just talking about it, I can smell walking into the church. I can feel, you know, going in and getting my folder, sitting down in the pew. And again, coming from someone who was interested in the arts and went to a school that didn't necessarily have all of the opportunities to be involved in depth in the arts, just sitting there and listening to the brilliant Wendra Trowbridge, who is the choir director, and learning from her for those 5 years, I'm sure we'll talk about it later. It was much more than just showing up and being in a choir. It gives me chills to think about, you know, the takeaways that I had from being involved.
And I'll be curious to talk a little bit about that, because I think one of the things that's important to remember with an organization like this is it really does develop students well beyond just musicians, just dancers, as if there's such a just of those.
Right.
But as I was telling you, I started playing the saxophone once upon a time, and that led me to public radio through a somewhat convoluted route. So it really can have a long-lasting impact.
That's right.
Now, where did it really become the idea to take the leap and form this academy? Because choirs are one thing, mm-hmm. but and I want to talk about what you offer today, mm-hmm. but this has grown and grown and grown. How does this really begin as an arts academy at St. Peter's Episcopal Church?
Mm-hmm. With many things, it starts with Jim and Sue
Jim
Adams,
and Sue Adams,
their vision.
Yep. They are visionaries and doers, both. Mm-hmm. So they're like the perfect they were the perfect people to put this into place for a community that they also loved beyond the church. They, I can capitalize that because it's such an interesting and beautiful story. Back when in the early days of choir, St. Peter's Church had the choirs. There was also a solo piano instructor renting space from the church. Actually, I think Jim and Sue were probably giving him a very good deal on the space because what they really thrive on is seeing others thrive. So they thought for a while that right around those years, so in the early 2000s, that they might do something even more to reach the community and be inclusive somehow. You know, bring more people in. And they thought possibly opening up a school, maybe even an Episcopal day school. They went on a year's sabbatical, touring the country, visiting schools. And somewhere along the way, on the way home, and I hope I'm getting the story, you know, mm-hmm. pretty well capitalized, but they thought, you know, it's not what Geneva really needs from us. If we open up a day school, say a day middle school, what that's only going to do is be a competitor within a community that doesn't need that. What it needs is for us to offset and support and give back into the community what the public schools either can't or seem to be trending to not be able to do. What we really need is more art, more of the arts. And we have something going here. Let's formalize it. And so in 2005, St. Peter's Community Arts Academy was born with the community choirs programs, a string studio for violin and viola, actually, at the time, and also piano.
I'm Kelly Walker, sitting in for Evan Dawson today on Connections. We are talking about St. Peter's Community Arts Academy in Geneva in the heart of the Finger Lakes. I'm joined in the studio this hour by Kirsten Burrell and Chris Fanning. If you'd like to join the conversation, our telephone numbers are 844-295-TALK. That's 8255. locally, 585-263-9994. You can also email us at connections@wxxi.org. And I would especially like to hear from former students or families that are currently a part of St. Peter's Community Arts Academy. And speaking of current, I mean, that was an impressive slate to begin with. But what sorts of things are you offering the community today?
Ever-growing.
Yeah, ever-growing. Yeah. Since its inception, St. Peter's Community Arts Academy has been nothing but on an opportunistic growth spectrum, and we continue to do so. So it seems like on an operational side, we're just always playing catch-up. But right now, currently we have expanded, well, I'll just tell you, the studios that we have are the community choir studios, a voice studio, the ballet school, which is our dance studio. We have the piano studios. We have the strings studios, but even within strings, we break that down into violin and viola. We have cello. We have guitar, ukulele, mandolin.
I don't think I knew that. Yeah. I don't think I remembered that uke and mandolin had entered into the scene. That's great.
Yes. If you care to start your performing arts education in the mandolin, we are going to say, come on, come on. Learn to play the mandolin or the ukulele or the guitar. He is the instructor, Bernardo Marcondes Rodriguez, is a local professional artist, and he is one of our on our faculty, and he's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And really believes in what the Arts Academy is doing. So the Arts Academy programming continues to just all of those programs continue to expand within themselves. Our fastest growing studios are certainly the choirs, the ballet school, the piano studio, and also the strings. So I just think that we continue sort of this blossoming exponential growth. It seems by the half year, by the month, you know, it's I'm trying to keep up. So
if I can just jump in, it's not only expanding in programming, it's expanding in accessibility. So, you know, you may be thinking, you know, I'm talking about how I was involved in the choir when I was in junior high and high school, but these programs are for everyone at every age in their life.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we do have students from ages, you know, 3 through however old you are. Mm-hmm. we have programs for every age and every ability level in almost every studio. So one of the things that I think really sets St. Peter's apart or the Arts Academy apart is our mission statement, which is Arts for All. Mm-hmm. And in addition to this high quality performing arts education available in Geneva, New York, you know, a little Geneva, New York, we also pride ourselves on making sure that that education is accessible to everybody. So we are generously give away scholarships, and we also encourage, vibrantly encourage people to apply for scholarships, all families. So,
well, and I'm glad that you brought that up, especially that it's not just the children. I mean, I know that's been my emphasis, but it probably shouldn't be entirely. While I'm not part of the piano studio right now, I have studied with Troy Slocum and intend to resume my piano studies with him should I ever find sufficient time. But I'm really taken with that mission of Arts for All, because one of the things that I think is you know, Evan Dawson alluded to this when we were talking about putting this program together. There have been budget cuts in the public schools. There have been budget cuts everywhere that have affected the arts.
Yes.
And it's not like everybody has money to go and pursue this education on their own. How do you see to the needs of all students, of all people who want to take advantage of a resource like this in the community?
You go. Yeah. I'll jump in.
Please jump in, Chris. It it's part of what we do at our very core. So the scholarship applications, by the way, are open. Scholarship application is open now. We accept. We encourage all families to apply, and it could be because you are looking for basic financial aid that would offset the tuition to come. It could be that you are a large family and you've got a couple of kids involved, but really want to get yourself involved as a parent. You want to start your own piano lesson, or you have another little sibling. There's another sibling coming along that you would like to start, but when you start really adding up the costs of multiple children, multiple lessons, multiple classes or lessons, we don't want that also to be a hurdle for your family. Or, and I'm very proud to announce this, that we are now trying to extend our reach, Arts for All, into the neighboring communities of Geneva. So, One of the things that we are now doing, and is it's hot off the presses, is that we have a donor that wanted us to do just that: go out and make ourselves known in our neighboring districts. For example, in Penn Yan, in Clifton Springs, in Newark, in Canandaigua, in Waterloo, Seneca Falls, etc. And so we also have a scholarship type that is what we call Neighbors of Geneva Aid. And that is for students who want to start or continue their performing arts education. So Arts for All, scholarships is how we fulfill our mission. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And I think there's also a partnership that the Academy has with the school district in Geneva that I think is just an incredible opportunity for, is it fifth and sixth graders?
Well, actually, we're expanding it to go from K through middle school. Yeah. But yeah,
Amazing. No,
I can't believe this is one of our probably one of our proudest accomplishments of the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. We are partnered with Geneva City School District because it's our home district through the 21st Century Grant to be an after school option in their after school programming. And so students K through eighth grade have options at the Arts Academy after school in dance, guitar, violin, ukulele, a tap class, an intro to classical ballet. So we're very proud to offer that to students in our district because it actually fulfills what Jim and Sue initially hoped to do, which mm-hmm. is to offer things that are not offered to students during the public school day. Mm-hmm. So it's a great collaboration we're expanding into, again, the middle school this year and also the littler ones in K through two.
Well, and congratulations on that news. That's really terrific news.
Thanks, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking a lot about this, and I think there's kind of this is public radio. There's kind of a an implicit, the arts are important. But what is it that you think you're bringing to the community of Geneva? What is like the impact that having – because I have to admit that, again, as somebody who is a transplant to Geneva, I was amazed to find such a robust arts organization in what is really a modest-sized community.
That's right, yeah.
And to find that it was so pervasive in terms of the friends that I've made, the families I've come to know, mm-hmm. how many of them have been involved in it.
Right.
I mean, what is the impact, you think, in any community, in Rochester, in any of the communities that we reach – of having this kind of arts program available?
Go for it, Chris.
Yeah, I think, speaking from my own experience, what a chance for folks who are involved in the arts, are first time, one of their kids is interested in piano, and so they suddenly are involved in the art circle. And it creates a place to celebrate creativity. This isn't... this is something that the students are training in, they are practicing, they are pouring themselves into, and then there's constant opportunity for recital, for performance, and for students to show off what they've worked on and for the community to cheer them on and congratulate them on what they've done. So I think, you know, in lots of arts fields, but especially I can say from my experience with St. Peter's, with the Academy, is that it gives us a chance to come together and celebrate and sit and enjoy music, dance, you know,
that's right,
whatever there is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I will add to that. I mean, celebrating the arts, as Kelly alluded, as you alluded to, it really is amazing to an outsider to come to Geneva and see so much performing arts in a small town. Mm-hmm. And so, one of the things that we are also doing as the school, we're really the school of the performing arts because we have certainly a lot of performing arts groups in Geneva or those that travel through, is an arts education is well, I mean, I'm not an economist, but there is some proof there that part of what we're doing is not just teaching someone how to play an instrument or teaching someone classical ballet instruction, but an arts education is, and what we do in ensemble style learning, group classes, students are learning self-confidence. Again, remember, students from their youngest ages all the way through adulthood are learning self-confidence. They're learning a sense of accomplishment. They're learning how to perform, how to be a better, perhaps, public speaker. And ultimately, if you are enriching humans in this way, you are ultimately enriching the communities that they live in. Mm-hmm. So I think.
Well, and let's remember, too, that, a shout out to another fine cultural institution in Geneva, the Smith Opera House, the Smith Center for the Arts.
Yes.
When you encourage students, when you encourage young people to appreciate the arts, you encourage them to participate as an audience member as well. And I think the Smith has made a great case over the years for the significant economic impact it has on the community. So that's right. I think, another way in which it extends as well, and really supporting future audiences, which are, of course, very, very important as well.
That's right. Yeah.
Agreed.
I agree.
We need to take a very quick break, just take care of a few things, and we will continue with our conversation about St. Peter's Community Arts Academy in Geneva. I'm Kelly Walker, sitting in for Evan Dawson today.
Coming up in our second hour, City Magazine editor Leah Stacy hosts the program, and the new edition of City is all about the Rochester 10. It's not a best of or a 30 under 30, as Leah writes. It's not a 40 under 40. It's a way of showing gratitude to 10 people who have made our community stronger, better, more vibrant. And she'll talk about the list next hour.
I'm Kelly Walker, sitting in for Evan Dawson today on Connections. We're talking about St. Peter's Community Arts Academy in Geneva, in the heart of the Finger Lakes. I'm joined in the studio this hour by Kirsten Burrell and Chris Fanning. If you'd like to join the conversation, our numbers are 844-295-TALK. That's 8255. Locally, 585-263-9994. You can also email us at connections@wxxi.org. Would love to hear from former students or families that are currently a part of St. Peter's Community Arts Academy as well, because you have graduated some people into careers in the arts. I mean, we're talking about the economic impact on the community. There's kind of an impact on the world at large, isn't there?
We hope so. That's the vision.
Yeah. I we were talking briefly before we started about some of the students who have graduated, you know, been on a track, either have been enrolled in the academy since they were little or joined in middle school or high school, and then have gone on to college careers that have set them on a track to be, you know, big players in the art scene.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, even from the earliest days, some of your classmates, mm-hmm. some of your colleagues and peers, you know, Pablo Fabru, and he was one of the early, again, in the early choirs before the Arts Academy was established. But we regularly now have students who finish up their senior year and go on to conservatories and are learning to be, professional performers. Boston Conservatory at Berkeley, the Crane School of Music, and others, and are now graduated and out in the world being performing artists. And then the beautiful thing about those folks and that alumni base is that they realize what St. Peter's Community Arts Academy has given them, and Geneva, actually, what Geneva has given them, and they come back and give back in the way of teaching master classes, becoming parts of other, performing arts groups here in Geneva that travel through or visit for a month at a time, or they give a workshop or a class. So we're very proud of that. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'd also add that, they've come through the academy and they're not going on to, dance in a big ballet company. But I know many people from, we'll say, my graduating class,
yes.
who are the accompanists in community productions in Geneva. They're giving voice lessons. They're tutors. There is this mentality that I will speak for myself. I came out of my experience in the choir with about, your responsibility to the arts and to sharing that.
That's right.
It's not something that is fostered and you keep to yourself. It's very much something you're giving to the community.
That's right.
You mentioned, Kirsten, that
yes.
You've got some great news about some additional grants and, you're able to extend services. But what are the challenges today in fundraising for an organization like this and fundraising for the arts? I mean, obviously, that's something we think about in public radio because we are constantly dealing with a shifting environment in terms of funding, and we get generous support from our listeners. And you, of course, can reach out to people like Chris who have been a part of the organization. But what are some of the challenges that you're facing now that you're almost a year in the job?
learning... learning trial by fire, probably. But, I think that the challenge that most arts organizations and public organizations have, or non-for-profit organizations have, is looking at their strategic plan and trying to predict a little bit of a growth spectrum. And then finding that sweet spot of how you put together your support from, or how, how you put together your support from grants and foundations and organizations versus just straight up membership buy-in, and how, you make sure that there's that careful balance that people are invested who are already at the Arts Academy or already know about it, but then spreading the word to potential donors, corporations who might be interested. And then again, making sure that you are always aligning with your mission statement so that your organization is grantable and attractive to foundations. So that's really my goal. And I think that the Arts Academy does have, a 5 and 10 year plan, and we hope to grow and expand to the point where we're actually joining all of our campus buildings with a connector building. That's our big sort of pie in the sky goal. And that would make us fully accessible and really have an economic impact on the community. But again, to get from here to there, it's that careful balance of looking at your growth and looking how to see where you can get that revenue from. So
if I can just jump in, not only from foundations and from grants, but, individual donations and gifts from people, I think, yes, we promote the arts. Yes, we have this phenomenal faculty and staff who believe in the mission of the organization, but it's also a safe space. Okay, so this is a place where after-school programming happens, where there is, you know, caring adults who are there to not just teach or entertain, but to give our young community members a place to go if they don't necessarily have a place to go.
Right.
And, you know, that was very much in line with Jim and Sue's vision before the Academy was created. And I think in my time on the board, that continues to be part of it. This isn't just an arts academy. This is a safe space for people to grow as individuals.
And of course, when we talk about fundraising and we talk about support, that can include human capital as well, like members of the board. What inspired you to become a member of the board, and what role does that fill in supporting St. Peter's?
Since my time in the choir, graduating from high school, and St. Peter's never really left my wheelhouse. I don't think we've really gotten to the meat of it, but the community at the church, at the choir, and now at the academy is so welcoming, and I would say, even though we're in pandemic times, contagious, that you can't kick it. And so, you know, my mother and I continued to attend masses, you know, because we loved hearing the choir so much. And I can sing along. I know the tenor parts. You know, I know how to do that. And then Wendy will come over afterwards. And she's like, oh, I thought I heard you. You know, you're a little sharp. She would never say that. So that never really left. And then because I live in Rochester now, which is not far from Geneva, but during the pandemic, they were looking for more board seats. And since they were meeting remotely, I was asked to join. And it was just such an honor to be able to come back, you know, having left the choir, having stayed in the arts. You know, I work at Ryerson Books, which is a literary center. I worked for the Rochester Fringe Festival for years and, you know, have always kind of been involved in the art scene. And then to be able to come back with my marketing and PR background on the support board for a place that truly set me up for success. You know, when I think back about those experiences in my life that got me where I am, there's no way to write that story without including my time in the choir. I mean, what role does that fill? For me, it fills, you know, my cup. It makes me, you know, believe that in all the ugliness of the world, there are still these beautiful light spots. But at the same time, it's just really fun to be a part of something that is growing and truly has a very focused vision and a team behind it that wants everyone to succeed. So,
well put.
Yeah.
Very well put.
I agree.
I do want to look back for a moment because you mentioned the pandemic. And of course, it's basically we're still dealing with COVID. I'm personally still dealing with COVID. But how did you weather lockdown? How did you weather dealing with a period where people couldn't come? I mean, you couldn't come together and sing. You could not necessarily have audiences. Did that change St. Peter's in any way long term, you think?
Well, there's actually the bad, but also the good of it that came out of that time period where we were not allowed to meet in person. Mm-hmm. That time period, because we couldn't ever say that we're quite out of the blue, right? Or into the clear, I guess. But you know, believe it or not, lessons continued to happen virtually, like many schools and organizations did. So that was part of our formula. We also continued fundraising. And Chris, because the executive support board, one of their main functions is to support me in the artistic life of the Arts Academy, but also do the help with fundraising efforts. And so one of our major fundraisers is Dinner with the Arts, which I hope we'll get a little chance to talk more about. It happens every spring. It's our only fundraising event that we do. And even though we serve a 5-course meal and it's beautiful, it's in person normally, and we spend an evening celebrating the arts and actually watching some performances, et cetera, and we couldn't do that in person during the pandemic, the support board, thank you, Chris, and everybody, they continued with that by just shifting and making it a to-go meal, and also putting together a video performance of the, you know, of the students and faculty, and so we sort of marched on like I think a lot of arts organizations had to do. But another like good thing that came out of that time is that because we could not meet in person, and the buildings were essentially vacant. We were at a point right about when COVID hit, finishing up a campaign, a capital campaign. And it was just, the timing was serendipitous, I think I can say. And so during the time when the buildings were vacant, we were able to take the money that was allotted to do the complete renovation project of one of our buildings, which now houses the main Arts Academy instrumental studios, and it was completely renovated for piano, acoustically appropriate for piano studios, violin studios, guitar, cello, etc. And we were also able to do a facelift on the dance studio, the other, the other parts of the campus, renovations to the sanctuary space of the church, which, by the way, we have a very symbiotic relationship with the church because we use the sanctuary space as a performance space as well. So that was a real, plus side for us as an academy, because if you really think about it, if we had tried to do that while we were in motion in a regular school year, we would have had to really think through the logistics of where students and faculty were working while that was happening. So I think that the support board, because at the time I was not present in my position, I think the support board saw an opportunity and they went for it. So we weathered, but we also improved. And I think that now we're sort of in a place where we can just really go, Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm Kelly Walker, sitting in for Evan Dawson. Today on Connections, we are talking about St. Peter's Community Arts Academy in Geneva in the heart of the Finger Lakes. And I'm joined in the studio this hour by Chris Fanning and Kirsten Burrell. And Kirsten, I'm going to put you on the spot just a little bit. We've talked about this before, and you alluded to this of when you were relatively new, not even in this role as managing director, you are filling big shoes. What gave you the confidence to step in to the role that, Jim and Sue Adams made all of this, and that makes you the second person to step into this role? What gave you that confidence?
Well, I'm actually just hopeful. I'm hopeful that it's I'm not necessarily filling the shoes, but making just to keep the metaphor going, but making sure that walk still moves. Those shoes keep moving along the path, and I think that what gave me the confidence in taking the position is that by the time that the Arts Academy, they posted the position, and the Arts Academy clearly was to a point where it had grown so much that it necessitated a managing director, which was just last June, just last year, March of 23. This is not a startup organization. This is a very well-established organization because of what Jim and Sue have done the past 18 years and now going on 19 years. So for me, I felt that our product is already in place, and that gives me a lot of confidence. And the community, the Geneva community, in many ways is already knows about the Arts Academy and is behind the Arts Academy. So for me to come in and do some organizational work or help manage and keep it moving forward. That's really what gave me the confidence, knowing that I have a product to work with that I absolutely love, feel absolutely passionate about, and feel really excited to promote. So, I mean, I don't think I'm really be filling the shoes. I think I'm just going to be trying to keep it going and make it be more efficient and continue to get the word out and just basically pick up where they left off. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, I appreciate your letting me put you on the spot a little bit. So if you're willing to do that, let's say in return, let's talk about something fun.
Oh, good.
What's in the future? What are the aspirations that you're carrying into the next decade? Because, and I guess I should ask, too, if there's going to be a big 20th anniversary celebration in 2025. So let's talk first. What is it that you're, you know, really aspiring to do in the future?
Well, I mean, I want Chris to talk a little bit about like what's coming up in terms of, you know, how you can be involved with the Arts Academy. However, I think I mentioned it very briefly before, but the Arts Academy currently serves, or I should say, the Arts Academy currently gives approximately 350 classes, lessons, you know, ensemble sessions per week. Okay, so we have hundreds of students coming and going from the Arts Academy. Uniquely, we serve about 250 students, but we really have the potential, probably, especially with this generous gift from a donor who's giving us this sort of Neighbors of Geneva aid to extend our reach, is I really think that we could be accommodating more like 1,000 lessons and classes in, you know, given every week. But that would mean that we need to get a connector building built. So I hope many people listening will come and visit the Arts Academy and see the beautiful buildings that we're in, because they are historic buildings that we've had to modify and work within, but we own them all. So we have this beautiful piece of property. Two of them are connected and one is a standalone. We have this beautiful piece of property that would hold a connector building and basically connect the campus buildings together. With that connector building, that would have us be able to address accessibility, certainly, but give us more ensemble rooms, give us more studio space, be able to expand the ballet school, which is already needing a second space, provide, you know, have an elevator. We just have more space in general. And so that's the vision, probably. You know, that's the vision. So we would hope to fulfill that vision, we hope to partner with donors, but also with funding, possibly coming from the state or other organizations, to make that a reality. But in the meantime, we need to just keep going with our baby steps from here to there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of the operational side. The connector building is going to be a real game changer, I think, for the Academy. But, you know, every year, as Kirsten is saying, there are, what'd you say, 350 lessons a week? You know, every quarter you've got a recital, you have a performance, the choir is going to, you know, do a showcase before they go off on their next big adventure. And if I'm not mistaken, almost all of these are free.
That's correct.
You do not have to be a member. You know, again, I came from a small Catholic school. We were not members of St. Peter's. We had never been to the church. We were still completely welcomed into the community at St. Peter's. And that very much transfers over to the Academy. So if you're looking for, you know, an hour of peace that you need and want to go and listen to some beautiful strings or something, you can drop into a recital. There's, you know, everybody's welcome to participate on whatever level they're comfortable in. Yeah.
All performances are free and open to the public. We also, Thank you, Chris. I mean, the artistic life of the Academy is another whole, you know, spoke of what our goals and aspirations are. And we have very talented faculty, very talented alumni. We envision a concert series that would, again, bring free concerts to the public. So it's just another way that we could give back, mm-hmm. you know, and that they can give back. Mm-hmm. So
is it a challenge to find instructors?
Well, it's a challenge to find faculty who are passionate about community arts schools, because it's a special person who wants to teach, yes, but teach every level mm-hmm. and every skill level and every age. So we take pride in that. We make sure that when we are recruiting faculty, we hold out for that person who is not only highly qualified and trained, either in pedagogy or performance, but also genuinely has that passion to be a part of the mission of St. Peter's Community Arts Academy. So I would just say it's not challenging to find the talent. It's just we want to find the right fit. It's not really a challenge. It's more of a purposeful decision on our part to hire faculty. Yeah.
What about your 20th anniversary?
Oh my gosh, 2025, is that next year? What? we have dinner with the arts. I mentioned it once before. Maybe I'll let Chris talk a little bit more about that. But in 2025, it will be the 20th anniversary of the school and the 14th annual dinner with the arts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dinner with the arts is, as Kirsten alluded to, is just this beautiful evening of a five-course sit-down meal provided by generously provided by the Beef and Brew in Geneva, where the choir performs, and you'll hear string studios come and perform, and the pianos students will perform, and the dancers will perform, and that is really as Kirsten said, it's our one major fundraiser of the year, but it's also the one time where all the studios are kind of in one place together.
That's right.
And so I imagine for the 20th, it will have that same focus, but probably be a little more of a party. Not that it isn't a party every year. I was laughing when we were talking about the COVID year, because when it was the take-home meal, I remember it was full-on downpour, and yeah. We were schlepping these meals in bags up and down the steps and handing them to choristers, these high school students who needed to do hours for
volunteer work,
and they're running them out in the rain to these cars. And it's just regardless of what we do for the 20th, I've never been in a fraternity, but the feeling I get coming back to the Academy, working with people I know, seeing alumni, meeting new people, I get that kind of feeling of brotherhood and camaraderie. So
yeah.
Whatever we decide for the 20th, we'll have that feel. And again, everybody's welcome.
Yeah. Inclusivity.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of everybody being welcome, how can people learn more and get in touch with St. Peter's Community Arts Academy?
The best way to find us is on the World Wide Web. Our webpage, stpetersarts.org, is alive and well, and you can find out information about classes and programs. You can find out information about scholarship opportunities, and you'll see if you'd like to, we've been talking about the faculty, the very talented faculty. There's a picture and bio of all of them there. And of course, contact information, my office is all right there as well. So our website is the best place to find out information about us. But please, please, please follow us on Instagram and social media. We have really talented people interns and volunteers working behind the scenes to get the word out about the Arts Academy. So if you follow us on Instagram and you see something you like, I'm not young enough to know how to do it, but repost it or share it or, you know, make a reel or do something cool. So
I want to add, Kirsten also puts together a beautiful newsletter once a month. You know, if you want to find out what's going on at the Academy, it is the only thing that comes into your inbox. There are no, you know, numerous messages coming out from the Academy.
Ads.
Yep. And it is just a great way to say, here's the bullet points. Here's what's coming up. Before we close, I just wanted to add one more thing. We have talked about Jim and Sue Adams and Big Shoes to Fill. And if they were here, I'm sure of it that they would say, well, we can't do it without everybody else. It wasn't just us. It was, you know, the Wendra being involved. It was the support board coming on. It's the students showing their interest in helping carry out the vision through volunteering.
Yes.
So I just want to give them props for being, you know, kind of the shepherds that bring all of these people with this passion together to make this a reality.
That's right.
Well, Kirsten Burl and Chris Fanning, I'd like to thank you both for joining us this hour to talk about St. Peter's Community Arts Academy in Geneva. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
It's been a delight. Thank you.
Truly.
Well, for me as well. I'm Kelly Walker, filling in for Evan Dawson. I want to thank you for listening to member-supported public radio. I would also like to thank Julie, Rob, and Dave for taking very good care of me today, making me feel most welcome, and this my first time in Evan's chair. Also, thanks to Megan and to Evan for everything that they do and for helping to make this possible.